Hey everybody, it's Dr. H, and you're listening to the Access 2 podcast. Today I'd like to talk about something that is often mentioned when we're talking about psychological illness, and that would be the chemical imbalance. I'm not going to get really technical about the whole thing. I'm going to speak in layman's terms so that everyone who's listening can understand. Now, you will often hear someone who takes psychiatric medications say that they have a chemical imbalance or that they've been told they have one. Boosting your serotonin has become sort of a vogue thing to say or a very popular thing. And literally billions of dollars have been made selling psychopharmacological drugs to cure this supposed chemical imbalance, because I'm sure you've heard it said serotonin plays a part in depression and all these other things. Millions of people take drugs to counteract this chemical imbalance that they have been told that they have. The problem is that there's no such thing as a chemical imbalance. It doesn't exist. Because if a chemical imbalance were a real thing, it could be measured. You know, you could have a test and see which chemicals aren't balanced. If someone has diabetes and their pancreas doesn't make enough insulin, you can measure that. You can prove that. You can see how much insulin they need. If someone's body doesn't make enough red blood cells, you can measure that. You can prove that. It should be the same theoretically for a chemical imbalance, but it's not. That test does not exist. It would also be true that if a chemical imbalance was a real thing, the same medication to correct this imbalance would work for everybody. Insulin doesn't just sometimes not work for people with diabetes who need insulin. It always works because the problem is that they need insulin. So giving them insulin is going to fix the problem. This is not how it is with psychiatric medications. At all. Not only do psychiatric medications not work the same for everybody, most of the time it's not known how the psychiatric medication works inside the body at all. Serotonin is the perfect example of that. Many people, doctors and patients, believe that boosting serotonin levels can help fight depression. It's a very, very commonly accepted medical theory. This was conceived probably in the 50s and really gained a lot of popularity in the 80s with the invention of Prozac and other different medications like that. Regardless of what you've been told, it's not a fact. Boosting serotonin has never been proven to fight depression. Even after all this time, there's still no proof of that. Since the 50s, there's been no proof. It's 2015. Studies actually show that 60 to 70% of depressed patients don't respond to drugs that boost serotonin. It doesn't help them. And actually, a few recent studies proved that placebos are just as effective as antidepressants. People are just prescribed medications and they ingest them basically based on vogue theories that have no hard science to back them up at all. There's no idea how the drugs work. There's no idea what the side or long-term effects will be or anything else. This is dangerous. And with many people on multiple medications now, often to counteract side effects, by the way, it's just no wonder that people have so many problems. It's especially true when you consider the fact that when a medication's found not to work, instead of discontinuing that medication, doctors often just add more medication to the medication the person is already on. Part of the reason that the chemical imbalance theory became so popular is because doctors essentially made it up to sell drugs. I mean, I know that sounds really awful to say, but when we get right down to brass tacks, that's the truth. Psychopharmacological drugs to treat mental illness became way more popular and mainstream in the 80s and 90s, but people were still sort of leery of the labels that are due to the stigma attached to mental illness. And they're certainly unaccustomed to taking pills for something that was thought of as being, you know, all in their head. So in order to demystify, destigmatize, and put people at ease with taking a pill for a mental problem, doctors began making it sound as if the patient had a physical problem. Enter the chemical imbalance. there were some studies done in the 50s that suggested that chemical imbalance could be used to trigger certain feelings, but street drugs work the same way. It has nothing to do with an actual imbalance causing anything. I mean, you know, this is not to say that many doctors didn't wholeheartedly believe in the veracity of the chemical imbalance claim. Undoubtedly, many did and probably still do. This theory not only demystified mental illness for the patient, it demystified it for doctors too. The problem is that it's supported by absolutely nothing. There is no proof that it even exists at all, unfortunately. It would be great if that were the truth, if you could simply just isolate which chemicals somebody needs more of or less than and just fix that. And I'm sure that was the driving force behind this entire theory, wanting to be able to fix it. Unfortunately, it doesn't hold water. If placebos are just as effective as antidepressants, then antidepressants aren't effective at all. Because as everybody listening knows, placebos aren't real medicine. They're just sugar pills that the patient is told are medicine. That's how you test the efficacy of drugs. You take a group of people and you give half of them medicine and half of them, you give them a pill, but it's not medicine. Then you see who gets better and who doesn't. And unfortunately, recent studies have shown that antidepressants don't work any better than a sugar pill. That should shed quite a bit of light on the whole chemical imbalance theory. Because if it was a truly biological problem, then the medicine should correct it, and they don't. Now, even though I said I wasn't going to get too technical, I am going to get a little technical here, and I'm going to list a few of the flaws in the chemical imbalance theory as outlined by Dr. Elliot Valenstein, PhD. He's a professor of psychology and neuroscience at Michigan University. He wrote a book called Blaming the Brain, in which he pretty much dismantled the chemical imbalance theory. He stated that, number one, reducing levels of norepinephrine, serotonin, and dopamine does not actually produce depression in humans, even though it does appear to do so in animals. Number two, the theory cannot explain why there are drugs that alleviate depression, despite the fact that they have little or no effect on either serotonin or norepinephrine. Number three, drugs that raise serotonin and norepinephrine levels, such as amphetamines and cocaine, do not alleviate depression. Now let's repeat that again. Street drugs, which have the same effect as the psychopharmacological drugs, they raise serotonin and norepinephrine, but they do not alleviate depression. Number four, Dr. Valenstein outlined the fact that no one has explained why it takes a relatively long time before antidepressant drugs produce any elevation of mood. Antidepressants produce their maximum elevation of serotonin and norepinephrine in only a day or two. So why does it take several weeks before any improvement in mood occurs? Number five, although some depressed patients have low levels of serotonin and norepinephrine, the majority do not. Estimates vary, but a reasonable average from several studies indicates that only about 25% of depressed patients actually have low levels of these metabolites. Number six, some depressed patients actually have abnormally high levels of serotonin and norepinephrine, and some patients with no history of depression at all have low levels of serotonin and norepinephrine. Number seven, although there have been claims that depression may be caused by excessive levels of monoamine oxidase, which is the enzyme that breaks down serotonin and norepinephrine, is only true in some depressed patients and not in others. Again, we go back to the diabetes example. If that's the problem, then the cure should be simple. The cure should always work if that's always the problem. Apparently, it is not. And number eight, antidepressants produce a number of different effects other than increasing norepinephrine and serotonin activity. And these have not been accounted for when considering their activity on depression. So if you are prescribing an antidepressant drug to somebody who's depressed and they seem to get better, how do you know what it's from? Considering for some people, they don't work. So if the drug does appear to be helping, maybe it needs to be considered that the positive effect is being achieved by something else. Good healthcare should be about elimination first, not accession. In other words, not adding things. The truth is that many, many so-called mental illness symptoms are caused by improper nutrition, chemical toxicity in the body, hormonal problems, reactions to environmental toxins, stress, and many, many other things. Before any medication is prescribed, these things should be eliminated. But generally, they're never even mentioned to the patient at all. The patient is simply given pills and told to call if there are problems. This is where our patients really need to be conscious about their own health care. If you go to see a doctor and you talk to the doctor for a little while and they tell you that you have a chemical imbalance without doing even one test on you, without taking your blood, without doing your analysis, without doing anything, you need to question how they could possibly know that. Because being told to call if there are problems is very vague. Patients often don't even realize what these, quote, problems could be, or they might not recognize them when they arise. Patients are not educated or told about side effects or health risks when they're given prescriptions. You get a pamphlet. If you've ever read the pamphlet and then looked the medicine up on the internet, then you know that what's in the pamphlet is not even close to all of the problems that this medication could cause you. Patients are certainly not told that no one, including their doctor, okay, including their doctor, including the scientists in the lab that made the drug, understands fully how these drugs interact with their bodies, and they're certainly never told that the drugs could do more harm than good if they even do anything at all. Now, some people do need medication. They absolutely do, and they should take it. But they should also be very, very informed about what they're putting into their bodies. This is also not to say that a person can't have a chemical imbalance. They certainly could. The body is a mass of chemicals all interacting with each other. That's how everything works, to put it very, very simply. So is it possible for these chemicals to become imbalanced or come out of whack, or for the brain or some other organ in the body to produce too much of something? Absolutely. The thyroid, the pituitary gland, the adrenal glands, it happens all the time. However, for this particular theory, the psychiatric chemical imbalance, there is no proof whatsoever that this occurs. Is it possible? Sure. It's certainly possible. But to prescribe people medication, some of which has extremely serious side effects, based on a guess, is not good science. The major downside to the chemical imbalance theory and the resulting popularity of treating mental problems with drugs is that psychiatrists and even family doctors have basically become really little more than pill pushers. A person with a severe psychiatric illness or disorder goes to a therapist, and the only time they ever see their actual doctor is to get a prescription or to check on whether they need a new prescription. I personally have a large problem with that, because therapies which actually do work and which address the root of the problem rather than just the symptoms of the problem, which is all medication takes care of in a majority of the cases. Therapies such as the so-called talking cure, they've sort of fallen by the wayside. It's become all about convenience rather than cure. It's a magic pill. Take this and poof, your symptoms are gone. Well, taking a pill might take away your anxiety, but your anxiety isn't your problem. Anxiety is not an illness. It's a symptom of something else. And if all you ever do is suppress the symptoms, you haven't taken care of the problem. It'll either come out in another way, or you'll be chained to that medication for the rest of your life. I mean, doctors gain a lot from prescribing pills. Pharmaceutical companies gain a lot, from about $12 billion a year or more. It's only the patient that loses. And the patient is the one who should really matter in this equation. So that's the question. Is chemical imbalance a real thing? Well, if you rely on science to define whether something is true or not, then the answer is no. Thank you for listening to the Access to podcast. And until next time, be well.